You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Philadelphia Phillies with MLB.com's Phillies beat reporter, Todd Zielecki. Todd, the Phillies are having, I think, an interesting offseason so far. They really seem to be taking on some intriguing buy-low guys. We talked about Hellickson last week. I'm a little bit of a Peter Borges honk. I think he's a really interesting player. I still think he's a guy, I don't think he's going to be an all-star, but I still think he's a guy who's got a really good season or two in him at the plate. It's not a given, but I think he's shown the abilities to do a lot of things, and we know about him defensively. How do they see him fitting in? What kind of role do they see him playing for them?
Yeah, I think they look at him much like you just mentioned. Jeremy Hellickson is a guy who's young enough and talented enough to kind of have a rebound year, you know, a guy that for various reasons hasn't really kind of replicated that success that he had in 2011. I actually just got off the phone talking with Peter, and he said, hey, you know, in 2012, you know, Mike Trout comes up, and obviously I'm not going to play over Mike Trout. 2013, I was off the good year. I had a hamstring injury. He said, you know, one reason or another, injuries kind of hurt me a little bit in St. Louis, didn't get a lot of regular playing time. So I think he's hoping, and the Phillies are hoping, that however he is used in Philly, it'll be a little bit more than he was used in St. Louis the past couple of years, and he can kind of get back to that success that he had in 2011. Because if he can hit like he did that season, I think the Phillies would be thrilled, because certainly he's an elite defensive outfielder. And now you put him in the outfield with Odubel Herrera and maybe even Aaron Altair at some point, and those are three guys that can really run down a lot of fly balls. And this is a team, if they're going to win any games next year, have to be kind of on point defensively. And he should certainly help in that direction.
My theory on him has been for a while, and look, some guys need to be limited. Some guys need to see exactly the right pitchers and not play too much, and they get exposed when they play a lot. My theory on him has been he may be one of those guys who's the opposite, one of those guys who really needs regular at-bats. The sample size, the data so far suggests he's a guy that if you play him irregularly, does not hit. I realize we're just talking within a matter of hours after this happened, maybe not even hours, an hour. But do you get the impression that the Phillies have seen that, and that he may be a guy who they'd like to get more than, 10 at-bats a week kind of thing?
I do, only because of this fact is they have really liked him for quite a long time. In fact, going back to, Pat Gillick and Ruben Amaro Jr., when they were kind of running the show here, they had tried, at least a couple times to acquire him. And I think they saw that potential. They saw a guy that if he played regularly would be able to produce with some level of success. And quite possibly Matt Klentak feels that same way too, and he knows him very, very well. They were together with the Angels in 2012 and 2013, so Matt is very familiar with Peter as a player, and so he has to see something there. And I got to think that, it's going to be more than just that, like you said, a 10 at bat a week type of role, because quite frankly, I think they need a veteran guy in there that can play fairly regularly. There's just a lot of questions. You feel pretty good about Herrera, whether or not he's going to remain in center field with Peter there now remains to be seen, but Altair is very improving. Cody Ashe did not have a very good year last year, and then you look at the rest of the outfielders that could possibly contribute right away. You're talking about Darnell Sweeney, Darren Ruff, so I think there's a really good opportunity for Peter to play pretty regularly early on in the season and finally take advantage of an opportunity.
So we had to talk about that because it just happened today. But mostly what we're doing this week is in a matter of a few days, all of baseball descends upon the Opryland outside Nashville. We spend 4 days looking at each other and asking each other if we've heard anything. So most of what we're doing is previewing that. And the Phillies are in I'm sort of curious as to what they'll do. One, because they haven't made big moves, but they've been active. They've done a lot of little moves over the last month or so. But two, and this is the first thing I want to ask about, they apparently are at least getting calls on a guy who could bring a lot. you look at what Craig Kimbrell brought, and it was one heck of a package. And while Ken Giles is not probably currently as good as Craig Kimbrell, I don't think the gap is as wide as people would think, and he's controlled cheaply for quite a long time. As you noted recently, they're not under any urgency. They don't have to move him. This is not something where if they move him, they don't move him, they lose him. But given what Kimbrell fetched, they have to be listening. Do you anticipate that this is something that heats up next week?
I do, just because once you get that face time, you know, you pass guys in the lobby, scouts pass guys in the lobby, you know, you set up meetings. I really do think that it could pick up. And I really, personally, I think that Matt Klentak, if a team steps up to the plate, I really don't think he's going to hesitate to trade him. Now, he's said all the right things. He said, you know, it's not a goal to trade Ken Giles. And I get that. It's not a goal. You don't have to trade Ken Giles. But if you can get a package similar to what, you know, San Diego got for Craig Kimbrell, I mean – shoot, you might as well jump at it and take it, because this is a team that's not going to win next year. It might not win in 2017. And if you can get some, an everyday player or a starting pitcher for a guy who's only going to typically pitch about 70, 75 innings in a season, I think you got to take a shot and make that happen. So I think a lot of teams that need closers right now see that the Phillies kind of feel that way. But, again, the Phillies are in a position of strength here where Matt Klentak can be very patient. It's not like last season where they are desperate to unload Jonathan Papelbon and they will take a raw double-A pitcher to get him. You know, they can sit back and just say, not strong enough. Come back to us and talk to us in July.
The other thing that you have written about and that is clearly an area of immediate need is the rotation. How's that shaken up? Do you see them getting closer to any more additions to guys who can at least start 30 times and give them some innings?
Yeah, I think that remains. Everybody I've talked to with the Phillies says that is really Matt Klentak's focus right now. He is very, very, very pitching focused in regards to next season's roster. I got to think they're either going to they're going to sign another free agent starter. I mentioned, you know, earlier this offseason, I mentioned Jay Happ a lot. Obviously, he's off the table. But, you know, kind of a Jeremy Hellickson type of guy, you know, maybe like a Doug Fister-ish type of pitcher. You know, guys coming off maybe a down year or two, but can still, when he's healthy, go out there and throw 30 innings. Because they just so desperately need those, at least one other of those types of guys. And so I do expect that talk to heat up as well. It's possible they could come out of the winter meetings with another starter, but certainly I think before the end of the year, they've got to land one of those guys to stabilize this rotation, because that's a real, real weakness right now. They are really, really thin in that department.
As I've gone through these NL East podcasts today, one topic that's come up with everybody, because it really affects every team, affects the Phillies as well, and that is that, you know, every few years we seem to have a reset on what starting pitching costs. And I'm not talking about David Price, because elite players kind of exist in a different free agency realm than the rest of the players. But I am talking about, you know, a guy you mentioned, Jay Happ, who really signed what seems to be maybe kind of a market-setting deal with 3 years and $12 million. Blue Jays also gave Marco Estrada $26 million over 2 years. There's talk that Jeff Samardzija has a $100 million offer on the table. It seems that the going rate for good starting pitchers has changed again. How big a problem is that for the Phillies when they have money, but I wonder if it's hard for them to justify going out and spending whatever it is, 35, 40 over 3 years on a guy who is an inning eater. Does that change affect how they look at the market?
Yeah, it might, because I tend to think, you know, I guess any team, if they could snap their fingers and make anything happen that they wanted, it'd be a lot easier for them. But I think that if they could find the right guy, it would be a pitcher on a 2-year deal. You know, maybe a contract similar to that Jay Happ contract. But certainly, yeah, I think they would love to shy away from that 3-year, $30 million, 3-year, $36 million contract on just an innings eater, because I think they just look at that and say, huh, why are we going to commit all these resources to this type of guy who might be just marginally better than the guy we could get on a two-year, $18 million contract, for instance? So I'm sure they're really closely what kind of weighing these options and trying to figure out the right price. And I am going to be very interested to see how they end up kind of finishing the rotation and who they get, how much he costs, you know, how many years have been committed to him, or maybe they can still go out and kind of do another Hellickson type of trade where you give up a, you know, top 30-ish type of prospect for a guy entering the final year of his contract.
One last thing, as we are parting from Nashville in a little less than 8 days, or in my case probably almost exactly 8 days from now, what do you expect the Phillies to have done? Do you think there'll be a starting pitcher in the fold? Do you think there'll be more bench moves? What do you think actually gets done while they are at the winter meetings?
Well, I think if I had to put money on something, I would think that they would at least get close to the finish line on another starter. Now, I don't know if that's absolutely going to happen, but I really do think that that's a priority for them. I think they would like to be aggressive in terms of the starting pitching market. One thing, obviously, we know they are going to do is they are going to draft somebody with the first pick in the Rule 5 draft. I talked to Mike Ondo today, who's their director of pro scouting, and he says they are in meetings and trying to whittle down a list to about 10 players, and they are certainly expecting to take a talented player in that position. And I asked them, I said, now, do you go for, you know, just pitching because you need pitching? Do you take the best player available? He said, you know, they're not quite there yet, but with this team and with so many holes to fill, I think that they could go in any number of directions, starting pitcher, a relief pitcher, an outfielder, an infielder. There's a lot of directions they can go. So they had a lot of success last year with Odubel Herrera, and they've had some success with some Rule 5 guys in the past. So, that's going to be an interesting pick for them because that's a guy that could really play a decent role with this team next season and going forward.
All right. Well, Todd Zielecki, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.